When pastors plan a worship throughout the year, we use what is called a Presbyterian worship planning calendar. It includes lectionary for Sundays, liturgical calendar which marks seasons of the Christian year, and also special days for PCUSA emphasis. Today is Immigration Sunday on the Presbyterian planning calendar, the day we lift up ministry and advocacy for new immigrants among us and discern how we can engage in immigration issues. In today's world, we hear so much about immigration on the news. The issue of the U.S. immigration legal system is such a complex and contentious topic, so I will not go into any details of the U.S. immigration legal system. Instead, I want to talk about acceptance, how we can live as people of God in the world. There is so much separation and segregation. As humans, we tend to stay within our own boundaries of familiarity. We sometimes avoid each other because we are all very busy crossing our own circles. We know that Christ calls us together as community, but we forget the biblical call to welcome the strangers. Newcomers can be strangers in the church. We hear about ethnic diversity and gender diversity, but how about generational diversity? Can an 80-year-old veteran relate to a 20-year-old in worship? What is the responsibility of the church when it comes to welcoming people different than us? I have been working here at APC for 4 months, and some APC members ask me where I am from. To introduce a little bit about myself, I have been living in Johns Creek for 15 years, but I was born and raised in Seoul, Korea, immigrated to the United States, and lived in Seattle, Washington. I was born and raised in a fifth-generation Presbyterian family, and it may not seem like a long time compared to someone, for example, from a Scottish Christian family with 500 years of long family Christian history. But considering the fact that Protestant Christianity was first introduced in Korea year 1885, which was only about 130 years ago, I am thankful that my ancestors accepted Christianity when Korea was closed off to most foreigners. With the sacrifice and dedicated lives of North American missionaries, my faith is a product of American missionaries. God works beyond our plans and expectations. I am standing here as a Korean American immigrant, as a non-white person, preaching in a predominantly white congregation church. What is even more surprising is that I'm preaching and leading worship in English, which is my second language. This mystery can only be explained as grace of God and the providence of God. And I am here because APC allowed me here and accepted me to do ministry with you. And I feel privileged and joy to worship with you each week. And this is a good example of acceptance. Our Bible story today is a well-known story of God healing Naaman from leprosy. Bible says Naaman is a great man, highly favored with the king of Aram. Aram was in the north of Israel, which was known as Syria. Naaman is not only rich, but God made him victorious. So God's providence was with Naaman, who was non-Israelite Aramean general who conquered part of Israel. I find this interesting that even in the Old Testament days, God's providence was not only limited to the people of covenant, but includes everyone regardless of their age, culture, and gender. Despite Naaman's powerful condition, verse 2 says, a mighty warrior suffered from leprosy. The man with so much power, so much wealth, has a fatal flaw. He had everything but health, and there was no cure for leprosy back in Naaman's time. It is obvious that no one in this room has leprosy. You all look like you have a good-looking skin. But do you have anything just as painful as leprosy in your life? My life would be perfect if only I have this. My life would be so much better if I can get rid of this one thing. I'm sure many of you have things in your own life that is just as painful as having leprosy. No one is immune from having pain or tragedy in life. We don't have an answer to all our sufferings in life because we are creatures and not God. When suffering comes upon us, we can believe that God is still with us and that God's loving grace and power will see us through. Let's talk about the young Israelite slave girl in the story, the most powerless person imaginable. The Israelite girl was far away from her home and her parents. She was taken to a foreign land as a servant, as a slave to Naaman's wife, who may have been the one to lead the raid that took her in the first place. She had every right, from our perspective, to be angry, to be bitter, and to be glad that Naaman had leprosy. But not this girl. She knows about the prophet Elisha and the healing power of God, and she bravely shares her faith and knowledge. And God used this young girl as an instrument of God's healing for Naaman. What a message of mercy, love, and forgiveness to the man who had wronged her. New Testament Luke chapter 4, verse 27 says, "There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." Jesus uses the healing of Naaman as a model for his own ministry among non-Israelites. Jesus heals outsiders, even those considered enemies of Israel, to make clear that the grace of God is not only limited to the people of Israel. If we trust God and let Him do the work, any person may have important insights and be instrument of God's saving work, regardless of different age, gender, culture. In this story, we can see Naaman's open relationship with this young slave girl. Most people would say, "Who are you to give me an advice? I am the powerful one. I am the older and wiser one. You're just a little girl." Naaman and the girl were people from different backgrounds and different generations, but they were willing to cross roads for one another. Naaman was a humble man in relationship, but shows arrogance when he visits Prophet Elisha. He pridefully expects his wealth and power to cure his leprosy. Naaman expected Elisha to personally come out, welcome him, pray over him, and get rid of the disease right away. But instead, Elisha sends a messenger to Naaman with instructions on how he can be healed. Elisha asks Naaman to immerse himself 7 times in the Jordan River. Not in the domestic Syrian rivers that he was familiar with, but God asked Naaman to immerse in the foreign waters of the Jordan River. Naaman is upset, his pride is wounded, and turned to go back home. Thankfully, Naaman was surrounded by wise counselors. Not only did he have the young Israelite slave girl, another servant appears in verse 13. When Naaman lost his temper, his servant stopped him and pleaded with him to do as Elisha orders. In a role reversal, Naaman does what his servant tells him to do. Naaman demonstrates courage in his willingness to a culture that is strange and foreign to him. So Naaman went to the Jordan River and immersed himself 7 times, and his skin was fully healed like a little boy. The Hebrew word Asaph appears several times in this text. Asaph can be translated as remove in English. The removal of leprosy brought healing to Naaman. When Naaman removed his pride and humbled himself, healing was given to him. When Naaman removed his trust on his wealth and power, healing was given to him. We as people of God, when we remove trust on our own beliefs and abilities, God's plan begins. When we remove trust on our own intelligence, material success, honor, family backgrounds, network of friends, we will be able to see God's providence more clearly in our lives. When we remove our trust on familiar things, familiar people, we will be able to bridge the gap between people. One of the deepest human needs is to be appreciated and valued for who we are. Acceptance means that I am welcome to be myself regardless of age, gender, and ethnicity. Some of you have noticed acceptance signs were posted in the church hallways. And the APC membership committee also hand out these acceptance stickers when they go to community events. The word acceptance represents APC as a community of faith to welcome others. We know that it is harder to live it than saying the word. It is our lives that speak louder than our words. It is Communion Sunday today. When we gather around the table and break the bread together, we are transformed as a community. It is an open table for all people. When we gather around the table, people from different ages and races, with different backgrounds and histories, become one body in Jesus Christ. Acceptance means belonging. It is different than having an asterisk after the word acceptance and having a footnote saying acceptance subject to terms and conditions. Jesus's acceptance is not based on our performance. It is a gift of God through the love of Jesus Christ. By showing acceptance of others, we are showing God's love to others for his glory. Let the people of God say amen.